I invite you to join me in the spirit of prayer. Spirit of life-giving love and love-giving life. Spirit of a bright, sunny, late autumn morning. In a season where the darkness grows through the nights that lengthen and grow in coldness, to invite us, perhaps, if we allow them, into our deeper selves, where we might learn again and again who we are and the meaning of our lives, that we might dream again of who we are becoming and the meaning that we might add to those lives as we walk through them and through our days. Let us be held by the spirit of this season, and let us be nurtured, be healed, and then turn around and be nurturers and healers. Let us hold this moment together in quiet. An introduction. The earth, still soft beneath the step, is lavishly moist from a season blessed by more rain than anyone might have had cause to hope for. Long nights of confused and confusing weather systems seem to have settled, finally, into a pattern of falling temperatures that stiffen the mud but leave it yet unsolid. There need not be too many more of these still longer, still darker, still colder nights before we reach the line, the frost line, that marks the end of one season and the beginning of another. Within the brief sunlight of a day, gathered together here in community, we search to find and make meaning amidst the soulful questions of life. Who are you? What are you doing here in this season of diminishing light? So let us follow the guidance of a course that is offered in both music and verse. Music speaks for itself, but words so often need words. John Fox writes of the worthiness of the form of the poem in his piece Poetry. She skates boldly onto the page, tips one vulnerable foot back and forth slowly till finally the edge of a toe cuts a simple sharp line through the world's cold resistance. And with that plain courage, a statement of intention begins. And you can't turn back any longer from the weight of feeling and letting go into the flow that follows. Poetry is a choice to feel it all. Not all at once, but gradually, to sink down within ourselves, to give what fear we hold behind our knees to gravity and grace, to discover what makes our whole world turn, the place our necessary weight lifts to lightened joy. The invitation now is to begin this, our gradual journey. Thank you. Part 1, Late in the Autumn. Melena Morling writes, "Often toward evening, after another day, after another year of days, in the half-dark on the way home, I stop at the food store, and waiting in line, I begin to wonder about people. I wonder if they also wonder about how strange it is that we are here on this earth, and how in order to live, we all must sleep. And how we have beds for this, unless we are without, and entire rooms where we go at the end of the day to collapse. And I think how even the most lively people are desolate when they are alone because they too must sleep and sooner or later die. We're always looking to acquire more food for great meals. We have to have great meals. Isn't it enough to be a person buying a carton of milk, a simple package of butter, and a loaf of whole wheat bread? Isn't it enough to stand here while the sweet middle-aged cashier rings up the purchases? I look outside, but I can't see much out there because now it is dark, except for a single vermilion neon sign floating above the gas station like a miniature temple simply lit against the night." George Sterling. "Now droops the troubled year, and now her tiny sunset stains the leaf. A holy fear, a rapt, elusive grief, make imminent the swift, exalting tear. The long wind's weary sigh, knowest, O listener, for what it wakes. Adown the sky, what star of time forsakes her pinnacle? What dream and dreamer die? A presence half divine stands at the threshold, ready to depart without a sign. Now seems the world's deep heart about to break. What sorrow stirs in mine? A mist of twilight rain hides now on the orange edges of the day. In vain, we labor that thou stay, beauty who wast and shalt not be again." Jane Kenyon. "Let the light of the late afternoon shine through chinks in the barn, moving up the bales as the sun moves down. Let the cricket take up chafing as a woman takes up her needles and her yarn. Let evening come. Let dew collect on the hoe abandoned in long grass. Let the stars appear and the moon disclose her silver horn. Let the fox go back to its sandy den. Let the wind die down. Let the shed go black inside. Let evening come. To the bottle in the ditch, to the scoop in the oats, to the air in the lung, let evening come. Let it come as it will, and don't be afraid. God does not leave us comfortless. So let evening come." So often is nighttime looked upon as a time for escape. It's a place where we can go to forget the day's difficulties, where we can dispense with our shortcomings. Carl Sandburg takes this outlet of night and escape as an escape and turns it inside out. Sandburg sleeps perhaps to dream in dreams in the dusk. There are queries in our dreams that take us into ourselves, our deeper selves, our soulful growing edge selves, where, like Sandburg, we know something of the heartaches of being human, of living. Dreams in the dusk. Only dreams closing the day, and with the day's closing, going back to the gray things, the dark things, the far, deep things of dreamland. Dreams, only dreams in the dusk, only the old remembered pictures of lost days when the day's loss wrote in tears the heart's loss. Tears and loss and broken dreams may find your heart at dusk. And still, dreams are about much more than pain. Dreams so often are our pathways to mystery and to wonder. Mary Oliver writes, 5 a.m. in the pine woods. "I'd seen their hoofprints in the deep needles and knew they ended the long night under the pines, walking like two mute and beautiful women toward the deeper woods. So I got up in the dark and went there. They came slowly down the hill and looked at me, sitting under the blue trees. Shyly, they stepped closer and stared from under their lashes and even nibbled some damp tassels of weed. This is not a poem about a dream, though it could be. This is a poem about the world that is ours, or could be. Finally, one of them, I swear it, would have come to my arms, but the other stamped sharp hoof in the pine needles like the tap of sanity, and they went off together through the trees. When I woke, I was alone, and I was thinking, so this is how you swim inward. This is how you flow outward. So this is how you pray. Another poet notices, fiery autumn fades to brown. The final leaves so slowly find their way to the ground. Soft white cloud overhead, so soon comes sunset of red. The seasons whirl, their cycle spun, just as birth, so death does come. Part two, As Winter Begins. Friend and colleague and poet Mary Thiebaud writes, the storm arrives as predicted. The snow piles up on railings, on roads, and on leaves still held to twigs, to branches, to limbs. The weight and the wind are too much. The limbs break. Some fall on wires. Connections fail. The power goes out. Or does it? The house becomes still. The buzz of electricity is silenced. The rattling furnace sleeps. We add layers of wool, sweaters, and blankets. Someone makes a fire in the fireplace or the wood stove. As daylight fades, we find candles and matches. It's the candlelight, casting unfamiliar shadows on the walls that makes us feel as if we're in a tavern or a grotto. This is where we need to be. Mary Oliver. The snow began here this morning and all day continued its white rhetoric everywhere, calling us back to why, how, whence such beauty, and what the meaning. Such an oracular fever flowing past windows and energy it seemed would not ever ebb, never settle less than lovely, and only now, deep into the night, it has finally ended. The silence is immense. And the leaves still hold a million candles, nowhere the familiar things, the stars, the moon, the darkness we expect and nightly turn from. Trees glitter like castles of ribbons, the broad fields smolder with light, a passing creek bed lies heaped with shining hills. And though the questions that have assailed us all day remain, not a single answer has been found. Walking out now into the silence, and the light under the trees and through the fields feels like one, feels like an answer. Wallace Stevens. One must have a mind of winter to regard the frost and the boughs of the pine trees crusted with snow, and have been cold a long time to behold the junipers shagged with ice, the spruces rough in the distant glitter of the January sun, and not to think of any misery in the sound of the wind, in the sound of a few leaves, which is the sound of the land full of the same wind that is blowing in the same bare place. For the listener who listens in the snow and nothing himself beholds nothing that is not there and the nothing that is. Lord Byron. I had a dream which was not all a dream. The bright sun was extinguished and the stars did wander darkling in the eternal skies. Rayless and pathless and the icy earth swung blind and blackening in the moonless air. Morn came and went and came and brought no day. And men forgot their passions in the dread of the desolation, and all hearts were chilled into a selfish prayer for light. There are a good number of people who think that Robert Burns stopped by the woods on a snowy evening in some whimsical pause on a romantic sleigh ride, but that is not what happened. He was brought to a halt by the sting of the long winter nights and the sometimes too painful reverie that accompanies those nights. He was brought to a momentary impasse by the pain that he knew well, and then he was let go of that pain when he was able to remember who he was within his connections to those who were his and who were beyond the difficult moment that he had stopped to linger in. Whose woods these are, I think I know. His house is in the village, though. He will not see me stopping here to watch his woods fill up with snow. My little horse must think it queer to stop without a farmhouse near, between the woods and the frozen lake, the darkest evening of the year. He gives his harness bells a shake to ask if there is some mistake. The only other sounds the sweep of easy wind and downy flake. The woods are lovely, dark and deep. But I have promises to keep, and miles to go before I sleep, and miles to go before I sleep. This is where we belong. Thank you. Part 3, The Winter Deepens Still. Death and Honey, a 2-minute poem by Timothy Coleman. Morning light has disappeared, so I light a beeswax candle you make from golden combs poured out of your heart. I sit still and pray for quiet in my early solitude, grateful for fire, love, death, and of course, you, honey. Silence is a poem written in fits and starts by the Unitarian poet, the late Unitarian poet E.E. Cummings. Silence is a looking bird, the turning edge of life, inquiry before snow. Theologian and poet Wendell Berry suggests that we make peace with our dark, peace within ourselves, to find the softness and the tenderness of our lives, that we might hold them more lovingly while they are still ours yet to hold. Berry writes, "To go in the dark with the light is to know the light. To know the dark. Go without sight and find that the dark too blooms and sings and is traveled by dark feet and dark wings." Ezra Pound, "What thou lovest well remains, the rest is dross. What thou lovest well shall not be reft from thee. What thou lovest well is thy true heritage. Whose world, or mine, or theirs, or is it of none? First came the scene, then thus the palpable Elysium, though it were in the halls of hell. What thou lovest well is thy true heritage. What thou lovest well shall not be reft from thee." And the muse speaks of arriving through the darkness to the other side and coming home by Mary Oliver. When we are driving in the dark on the long road to Provincetown, when we are weary, when the buildings and the scrub pines lose their familiar look, I imagine us rising from the speeding car. I imagine us seeing everything from another place, the top of one of the pale dunes or the deep and nameless fields of the sea. And what we see is a world that cannot cherish us, but which we cherish. And what we see is our life moving like that, along the dark edges of everything, headlights sweeping the blackness, believing in 1,000 fragile and unprovable things, looking out for sorrow, slowing down for happiness, making all the right turns down to the thumping barriers, to the sea, to the swirling waves, the narrow streets, the houses, the past, the future, the doorway that belongs to you and me. This side of the frost line. The earth, still soft beneath the step, is lavishly moist from a season blessed by more rain than anyone might have had cause to hope for. Long nights of confused and confusing weather systems seem to have settled finally into a pattern of falling temperatures that stiffen mud but leave it yet unsolid. There need not be too many more of these still longer, still darker, still colder nights before we reach the line, the frost line, that marks the end of one season, the beginning of another. The branches of trees overhead, the ones that have withstood the surprise of a too early dripping wet, heavy laden snow, reach now toward the sky in naked, unabashed prayers of thanksgiving. Soon they will be fragilely frozen in space as they prepare for sleep, as they prepare for whatever lies next, as they expand into becoming what they are at this very moment. Advent is a time for waiting, a time of yearning, of gratitude for what has been, which is life, a time for hope of what is to be, which is hoped for life. in what form we cannot know, but that need not diminish our faith nor our hope. Perhaps it is faith that is the mother's milk from which all hope, all life is nourished. This side of the frost line is a time for waiting, for hoping, for imagining, for feeling. This side of the frost line is not just a time. It is the time for our human being and our human doing. This season of Advent is for going into the darkness, into the cold, into the unknown, that we might be so bold, that we might be so human as to find and make meaning. Choose to feel it all. Discover miniature temples that have been simply lit. Savor the beauty that is and that shall not be again. Let the stars appear and the moon disclose her silver horn. Lie awake in the darkness, wounded but still whole. Dream dreams that challenge and inspire. Yield to the whirl of the season spun. Know that this is where we need to be, standing under the heavens in awe of the billions of candles that pierce the canopy, and to know the meanness of nature too. So bold as to accept the darkness and to pray for both it and the light. So bold as to have promises to keep and then to keep them. So bold as to trust that what we love cannot be reft from us. And so bold as to have faith that there is a way, there always is a way, of finding and getting home. This side of the frost line is a gift unasked for and yet given, offering the chance of a lifetime to love and to be loved, offering the chance of a lifetime to care about and to be cared for, so that we might notice, that we are alive, so that we might notice that we are indeed on this side of the frost line. Between the dawn and the dusk of our being, let us be brave and loving. In our little passage through light and dark, let us sustain and forward the human venture in gentleness, in service, in thought. May the prayers of our hearts and the songs of our lips shared in this holy hour of worship be with us now and in our days to come. As we extinguish our chalice, this worship comes to an end and our service begins. Blessed be and amen.